Can you hear me? Cool. Let's get started. Thanks for joining. Welcome to Build Day One. Hopefully it's been a pretty cool day for you so far. I'm surprised actually by how much people showed up. I got moved to the 5 p.m. slot and you guys are troopers, so I appreciate that. Thank you for joining. Today in this session, we're gonna be talking about building applications with the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. Some objectives I want you guys to take away, or some objectives I want you to do during the session is learn what the Microsoft Azure Marketplace is, build cool services and application is easy and fun and productive, and then some takeaways are that you can build cloud scale services really easily. You can build them in any language in any platform, although I won't be doing it in any language in any platform today. You can try the Azure Marketplace today for free if you haven't already taken advantage of Azure Free Trial. And then you can come and actually sell your services fairly seamlessly in the Azure Marketplace. So a little bit about me before we get started. I'm Chris, I'm a PM in Azure. I used to work in billing, now I work in the Azure Marketplace. I recently got married, this is my wife Jill. Thank you. She keeps me together. And then another thing that keeps me together, at least used to, is a lot of food. I used to be a competitive eater, so a little interesting fact about me. This is 5 pounds of pancakes that I ate in 10 minutes. I obviously quit that because I'm working for Microsoft now. And needless to say, I probably don't like blueberry pancakes anymore. But let's get right into it, just a little icebreaker. So what is Microsoft Azure Marketplace? A lot of you might think you know what the store is, that there's a mobile store, or a Windows store, or an Azure Marketplace. It's really confusing. But we're doing a big effort to make a lot of consolidation of what this is. The Microsoft Azure Marketplace is an online marketplace to discover, to purchase, provision integrated services and applications that complement and extend Azure. So it's an ecosystem. Why use the Microsoft Azure Marketplace? It's a growing ecosystem. We have IaaS, we have PaaS, we have SaaS, we have first-party services, third-party services. We're trying to constantly fill gaps. We're trying to figure out from customers what kind of services they actually want and want to build on to create really awesome solutions for their customers or even internally with their own companies. It's a one-stop shop. So as I said before, a lot of folks know of many, many storefronts. For Azure, we're trying to consolidate all that, make everything go through one point of contact, one storefront. So you're not going to multiple stores to get certain things and everything feels familiar and consistent. Then we also are focusing a lot on our UI and making the backend actually integrate easily. So when you purchase these services, whether it's first party, third party, across the stack, they all integrate very easily together and seamlessly. A lot of partners take the initiative to make it so it's plug and play ready. And then finally, there's one bill. So you sign up for an Azure subscription, it has one bill. You go into our marketplace, you can purchase any service you want with that one. You don't have to re-enter credit cards. You don't have to have anything other than worrying about what that service is that you want to do. Another great point of why using the marketplace is we have a global reach. So right now we're currently in 86 countries. That means we can sell to 86 different countries. You can see there's a long list of them here. Potentially, if you're not from the United States, you might see your country on here. And this is growing. This is both from a sell to and a sell from perspective. So we can sell to certain regions and we can sell your products from certain regions. But the meta point here is that we have a very large global outreach. So getting your services in here is really great for marketing and for your global marketplace. So how does the Microsoft Azure Marketplace work? Well, first we have free tiers and free trials. That means you get to try things before you buy them. So that's great. Then there's no commitment and there's very flexible subscription options. So you can come in, you can try it, you pretty much pay for what you use, or some partners even allow you to purchase their service for free and use it for a month. So that really removes a lot of friction for you to understand how powerful the ecosystem is and the services within Microsoft Azure. And again, billing, I'm going to keep hitting on this one. It inherits your payment instrument of Azure, so it makes it very seamless. You really have to worry about just the core competency, which is finding the service, building with the service, and creating solutions for your customers. And then there's a large workforce behind you. Microsoft provides all the billing assistance, as well as Microsoft and our partners or our providers provide product support. So what's for sale? We have lots of things for sale, and this is also growing. This is part of the growing ecosystem. We have analytics and monitoring. We have development tools, data and storage, caching and backup, media, web, the list goes on. There's identity and access management. The idea is that we sell these tools via different kind of deployment mechanisms. Some are VMs, some are web services, some are mobile. It's across many platforms and it's in many languages. We try to be platform agnostic so that way we can support all our customers and our partners. And now the part that is gonna be most of this demo is gonna be a show and tell. So during this presentation, we're gonna be building an application using lots of services in the Microsoft Azure Marketplace. It's gonna be kind of like a child age game, memory, if you remember that. The cards are flipped, you flip them over and you try to find all the matches. Once you complete it, you've completed the game or you've won. So we're gonna build a basic memory app. Then we're gonna add a leaderboard to it so that way you can actually play the game over and over again and aggregate your score as well as rank yourself across other players in the system. Then we're gonna have you invite friends via email service or other people wanna play. We're gonna make the game more dynamic, so we're actually gonna let the user choose the topic of the game using some of our Bing search and Bing image APIs. We're gonna add international chat. It's not gonna be verbose, it's gonna be just Spanish and English, but it can show that there will be a chat room with the memory game, with the leaderboard, and you can chat in different languages. And then finally, everyone in the room will get to play. So let's switch over. And before I get started with the demo, I'm going to show you the Microsoft Azure portal. It's at portal.azure.com. Hopefully you guys can see it. If you can't, just let me know and I'll try to zoom in more. You can customize this start board, that's what we call this, and it has all these parts that are important to you. So you can imagine in like a NOC, you'd have a lot of parts that would be pinned here that were important for the status of the health of your services, how they're integrated, how they're running. When you open these parts, it actually shows you what you want to do. You can change the theme. So it's pretty diverse in how the UI works. But I'm going to go into the Azure Marketplace. And here we have a high-level categories, which show you a lot of those services I mentioned before. They're kind of just buckets. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to use an Azure website or web app. You open this, it opens a details blade, tells you a little bit what it is. It shows you kind of what it looks like when you have it deployed. And then it has a lot of links where you can kind of learn about the documentation for it, tutorials, pricing, all that kind of stuff. And what we're going to do is we're going to deploy a website here. It's going to be an empty website. And then I'm going to go into Visual Studio and create the website and deploy it to this website. So you can see kind of end-to-end, you can do this both from an IDE and from the portal. So I'm going to call it Memory with Friends Demo. Perfect. I've already created an app service plan. No, I haven't. So I will create a new one, or I will just use this one. And you can see it comes with a website, which is a free tier. So it's not the most performant website, but it's free, so it's great for a demo. It'll be in the West US, or actually, let's create a new one. So that way we can go in the West US since we're in San Francisco today. Let's call it App Service Plan. Okay. I'm not sure where this is not working. Maybe I have to keep clicking. There we go. This is where you can see all the pricing. There's lots of pricing. I'm obviously not going to do a very large one, so I'm going to keep it small. I'll probably do the free again. I'll choose a resource group, which is associated with my subscription payment ID, which I talked about earlier. This is group one, which is in West US. And I will choose the location to deploy this website in West US. So let's just assume we have a lot of customers, or all of us are going to play it. We want to have the best performance. We'll create it here. So while this is creating, it doesn't take more than a few minutes to actually do that. I'm also going to use SQL, a SQL VM as my backend to store stuff for my website. And I'll use the search here so you can see their action for this. So SQL 2008 R2. And the reason why I'm choosing this instead of like 2004 is because it's much cheaper for a demo purpose. Here we go. Same process. We'll give it a host name. There we go. We'll call this SQL VM host for game. No way, that's already taken. We'll just call it memory game DB. Great. I'm going to name it the same as my actual account. So We got one. You can see the website just completed on the left. I got a success at outlook.com. Actually, AZ store 01. It's hard to lean over and type on this thing. I'm not going to do D12. That would be fairly expensive for me. So I will choose to view all of these, and I will choose a more affordable plan for me. Again, this is the same thing that you can do. You can choose basic tiers and try things, and you can always scale up or down to a different plan. And then you can also scale your services depending on load. That works for VMs as well as for websites. I chose A4. I didn't mean to choose that. A0, please. I'm not going to do an additional config. I am going to co-locate it in the resource group. Azure has this concept of resource group, which is a container where all your services will reside. So that way, when you do service-related operations, they all share the same life cycle. So it's a way to organize all your services a little bit better. So you can imagine large corporations or even a smaller company has multiple types of applications. They want to organize things separately. Yep. Yeah, later on, I'll actually go through the part where people can onboard, and there's different operations you can do based on how you want to display things, if you want to be a VM versus a website or a web app. You can choose pricing models. It's fairly flexible, and it's changing as we get more and more people in our system to learn more about how people are selling to their customers. Great question. I will go to the West US, and I can't see too well, so if you have a question, feel free to interrupt. So this actually takes 15 minutes to create, but you can see it was fairly easy to create. I created one up here already, and I have that actually on the website. So what I want to do now is I have this website up. I'm going to go to it, and later we're going to deploy to this, but I want to show you that it's an empty website. And it'll just have all the boilerplate stuff that says, hey, you've done it correctly. Here's some resources. Get started. So I'm going to close that. And this is actually called a resource level blade. So for any resource, regardless if it's a website, a VM, a database, it will look and feel the same way. There will be commands at the top for managing it. You usually have some essentials bar, which tells you a lot of information about that. You'll have a quick start. You can do AAD, which is Active Directory for this. You can tag it, so that way you can do things for billing or, again, more containers for organization. Then there's lots of dashboard information, which is specific to the service down here, which shows you status of it running, how much usage you've done, quotas, scaling, lots of stuff. It's specific to the service. And a lot of it's free and it's out of the box, which is great. So I'm going to minimize this and I'm going to open up my project. I've already pre-baked the basic game, which is just a 6-card memory game. But what I'm going to do is show you how I actually created it from scratch. Since we only have 60 minutes, I have to do it fairly quickly. That's why I'm pre-baking some things. So if I go into Visual Studio, I can go into C# and I can choose web. And you see there's an empty ASP.NET website. I can give it any name. I'm not going to actually create this one. You can add application insights by default. So this is analytics and monitoring for this. So if there's ways you want to enhance performance or find out if you're doing better with your customers or see how the load's doing on your website, application insights is a great addition. Then from here, I actually want to choose MVC. We're going to do an MVC model for our website. You can change authentication. For ours, we're just going to do individual user accounts. So that way people can log in with the user and we can see a leaderboard and chat. Everyone's got a unique identity. You can deploy actually from here, so you can host it in the cloud, and notice you can do it on a website or a VM. So this is all our compute stack. I'm not going to do this right now because I've already pre-baked it. So I will back out of here and I will start up the project. Whoops. Let me open that again. I apologize. So MVC, if you're not familiar with that, is a model view controller. You have a model, which is the data and the logic you do over this data. You have a view, which is what the user will see when they go to your website, and you have a controller, which more or less controls all the data and the interactions to and from that view. It's a great way to dynamically have a view, and the reason why we're using that is because in our game, you're going to be playing a game, and there's going to be things that are polling on the side that are happening, and you don't want to refresh your game. So the model view controller is a really great way around that. So we're going to start in every phase of this project from the top down. So we'll start with a view. We'll go usually to the controller, and then we'll go to the model. So off the bat, you can see I'm in my index.html or cshtml. This is more or less just how the view looks. So there's a header which says hello. It'll say hello to whoever the user is. It's logged in. We won't have authentication for the easy game, so it won't say anything other than hello. Then we have some divs. In each div, there's 0 to 16, because we will evolve this game to be a 6-card game to a 16-card game. They have cards that are flipped down, and then each card has a unique image to it, just add a little flair to it. And these divs will actually, based on user's interaction, will flip, will hide, will unhide. It's more or less our view of the actual memory card game for this demo. Then for this, you can see there is, I have to squint, sorry about that. Let me zoom in. You can see we have some functions. When the home page is loaded, we call this change image function, which is JavaScript, and we also have a handle create. And these both get called. And so I'm going to go into this. You can see this opens up my site.js. I'm going to zoom in on this. Yeah, that looks like you guys can see it. So here's that handle create event. And what that handle create event does is it every time a user creates a new game and they click on a card has to do something. And so it's going to flip. So this function will flip the cards. When there's two cards flips, it'll check if there's a match. If there is a match, it'll actually reload the game and flip all the cards back. If there's not a match, it flips them back. And that's just really the function that does the clicking and the counting of if you've successfully completed the game or not. Then you come down here, you can see there's a flip image function. Really all it does is just flip the images back and forth. And then there's a change image. So this is the part in the game where we actually will take images and randomize them so that way when you play a new game, they're not in the same spot every time. And so we need to be able to change those images. So on a change image call, we actually call get images. And right now in get images, we have all of our images stored in the SQL client, which I've installed already. And you can see in my web.config, I'm pointing to it. So that's the game host. This thing says I have to zoom in every time. So I have my connection string, which is the SQL client. And this is information that you get when you deploy that VM. So this is actually on my VM. I've preloaded the VM with some basic images. And this is in the web.config. So this will actually go through and it'll say, is there a topic? No, that's later. We don't have a topic right now, this is just a basic game. And we're actually gonna do a post call. So this is where the controller comes in. This is the MVC aspect of it. Handling images actually puts those images in the array that they're gonna be when they flip over. And then the match pattern build is a function that randomly chooses index 0, matches with index 3, and every time you play a game, it rearranges the indexes, so it's a random game to add challenging, to make it more challenging. There's a sleep for how long you wait before you flip. There's some reset game functions, and everything else in here is kind of just a helper. So we'll be coming back to these ones quite frequently as we evolve this game. Right now, let's get into the get image, because that's actually dealing with the controller. So the image controller, if you come into it, and I gotta zoom in again. You can see I have, for the default game, I've hard-coded some text. So Google, Xbox, hello, goodbye, and they're mapped to the actual images for each one of these items. So this is a 6-card game. When they flip, you'll get a text. You flip another one, you get an image, and you wanna match those two. So we are using SQL as a VM which has the same images. If the connection to that fails, we fail back to these ones. Here's our cloud storage account, so I'm just initiating a blob storage. This is actually for chat later when we implement that. This is our dictionary that holds all the images for the game in the SQL, so they're actually key value pairs. And then here is the actual message that is on our API site that is get image. So what that does is it passes in a content body from an HTTP message, and that content body will have something in it or be empty. So this first function says, is it empty? Yes, it will be for the basic game, because there's no topics there. Soon we'll implement topics, and there'll actually be a topic that we're gonna actually parse over and actually use the Bing APIs to get a response. But we'll skip over that. Then there's an if statement, which goes through and says, okay, did the SQL connection fail more or less? If it did, we're gonna actually just choose these default images and mappings up here. If it didn't, we're gonna use our image details, which is actually our dictionary that's stored and refers to the schema in our SQL client or in our VM. Here you can see the dictionary. We'll use that later for making it more difficult. So we're actually gonna update things into the dictionary based on when people search for a topic. Here's parse build, that's when we do the international chat. And then you see there's some helper functions in here. So we've kind of walked through a large part of this. Now we gotta get to the actual model. And the model in here is gonna be right here, the image monitor. I gotta zoom in again. So you can see we have a DB context. This lets us actually set up the DB for the connection string. You can see that here. I also referred to it in the web.config. And then it also gives us our schema and our setup of this table. You see we're going to be calling it image details, and our key is going to be based on the text. Then we have a class which defines what those image details are, and those are obvious things like what the image is, what the text is, the image source, like the URI, the text source, the text location in the database, so on and so forth. So pretty obvious what's going on there. So I think I've described everything. There is the JavaScript file which I went through. There's a counts controller and there's a home controller. So counts is where you go to actually log in on the website. So we won't do that yet because that's authenticating you. The home controller is the one that actually takes in all the calls from the home page. So you can see that there's... Yep. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So this first part of the demo, I'm actually going to be building an application. I'm going to evolve it to a more complex application. It's going to be multi-user. And then I can take that application and actually build a resource provider and sell it in the Azure store. And I'll show you that whole process. Yeah, so there's a lot of lead up. I'm trying to make it more fun and more realistic to see, show that you can actually use the marketplace itself to take tons of services all over the place. I'm using about 8 different services building a web application that's just fun for anyone to play. And then I'm going to provision user accounts for people to come in and log in to play this game. So that's kind of the story. So that's kind of the nugget first there, so thanks for that question. Yep. Okay. So why don't we build this puppy? And it should build just fine. And I will actually deploy it locally. So I'm not deploying it to the website yet. I actually want to see it run here. Publishing takes a little bit longer than just doing it on your local host. And it should pop up. And I'm definitely not claiming to be the best developer. So the performance of this is not optimum. This is just for a demo. But you can see that I have the divs. So 6 are showing. We have a hello. There's no login. Generally, this would be an ASP.NET site, but I've replaced it so it looks and feels like this. Here's the images for the backside of the card. And now you can see when I flip them, there's goodbye. Hey, I got it. That was lucky. Beer. Wow, really lucky today. But you can see it's randomized and it changes, right? So Xbox is now there. All right, I got one wrong. That's good. And you can see you can keep doing this. And every time you do it, it does a reload of the page and reloads the game. So we want to make this more interesting because I actually want to actually see myself get a score. I want to play against other people. I want to make it more challenging. So I will close this and I will actually deploy this to the website that we created before on the portal, if you remember that. Using Visual Studio or all the IDEs, they're integrated fairly well into publishing. So I can come in here and I can actually say I want to go to an Azure website. I'll log in so you can see it's, well, if you can see, it's my username that I signed into the portal with. It'll actually look up all my websites, and I see Memory Friends Demo, and hit OK. That'll download all my publishing files, which allows me to connect to Azure. Yes. And I will publish. So in a second, after this builds and does all the deployment, it'll actually pop up the website, and this will actually be live. Anyone in the audience could go to the site and just flip with these 6 cards. So while I'm deploying that, I'm going to start building the leaderboard part of the game. And I have a lot of stuff pre-baked, so what I'm going to do is I'm going, oh, the website's coming up now, so you can see it. Sounds like there's a club next door. All right, so you can see this is actually on Memory with Friends demo at azurewebsites.net. So anyone in the room could literally go to this, and it works the exact same way. And in the end, I'll have us all play. But let's move on to the leaderboard score. In the leaderboard, so I have the control here. Let's again start with the view. And we need to add a new view to this. That's the actual leaderboard. It's the look and feel of the leaderboard. So I'm going to come into here. I'm going to go to index.cshtml. I'm going to add this leaderboard right above the div for all the cards. So you can see here that there's going to be a name, there's going to be a score, there's going to be a rank. And they will sort. And then it's actually going to be called leaderboard, so it'll have a label, which is great. And then I'm going to go into JavaScript to actually make this leaderboard work the way it's supposed to. So in here, we need to make sure that we update the score every time a new game is played. So if you go down to the get images, or down to up to this function where we reset the game, which is right here, we reload the game. We make sure every time you reload a game, that means the game is completed, you update the score for that user. Then we want to make sure that we actually poll the scoreboard. So when I'm playing a game, my game may not be completed, but other people playing the games might finish their games. I want to see their score get updated. So I'm going to go down to change image, and it'll poll every 3 seconds, so 300 milliseconds. And then I'm going to add functions for the polling and the scoreboard. I'll walk through these functions real quick. A lot of the magic in this is actually in the JavaScript and in the controllers. So we have the do post, which is called every 3 seconds to actually check the score. It handles the score update, and it'll update if there are scores updated in the SQL VM. Update score is called. That's what we just added when you complete a game. Then there's table create. So if this table score or the leaderboard score doesn't exist, it goes through and creates it and then sorts it. So every time if there's an issue, it'll actually redo this. And the last one is handle score, which is what the function above called. So you see these are all AJAX calls again. So these are going to be calling our controller, which means we probably have to update our controller code now. So go in here. We're going to go to our account controller. We need to make sure we use our models, which we do. Great. And then we want to add this post controller that actually handles that post call. It actually registers the user in the table upon registering for the system. So you can see at the top here, we actually are now going to authorize when we go to this page. And down here, there will be an actual register. And after they successfully register in a system, so they have the correct email and password, there's no duplicates, we're going to add them to our leaderboard. And we're going to go to the home controller. And this is the main page. We're using the models. That's great. We need to authorize. So here, I'm going to uncomment this out. So now, every time I load this on my localhost or on the web, it'll actually ask me to authenticate myself. I need to make sure now I'm passing in the model for the scoreboard. Before, we weren't. An index is just the home page. And then we need to actually have a push and a post for the update score. I'll just add that before the about and the index. So this scoreboard is where the scoreboard and the identity of the user is added. This is when a push message happens. So when I do a do post, it does that. And here's the update score, which actually will update the scoreboard when someone does this. So I'm just linking the view to the controller now. And now we actually have to have the model, which is, if you go in here, we're going to add the scoreboard model, which is right there. And then I'll walk you through that. So the scoreboard, it's similar to what we have for the image monitor. We have a scoreboard, we have a DB context, and we have it creating the scoreboard right here. I'm gonna actually build and see what resolution issues we're having. We don't have a model scoreboard. All right, so I forgot to add a file. So if I go into image monitor, there's a scoreboard right there. We're going to add that. We need to set up the DB context in that controller as well, or in that model. And that is in here. So at the top where we connect our SQL DB, we're going to store the scores there as well. So we're going to store the image details and the scoreboard there. And then we're going to define actually what that object is. Here's the object for the scoreboard. I'm going to zoom out a little bit. Okay, so now we have a scoreboard. You can see that each scoreboard has a user and a name, and then we have modifier and accessor functions. So we should be able to build this. It succeeded. It's awesome, especially since it's a demo. And we're going to build this and deploy it. So again, I'm just going to do localhost. I'll deploy the last one on the actual website so everyone can play. And what it's going to do is right off the bat, you'll notice it'll ask me to authenticate who I am. I already have test users in the system, and I've been playing with this for the past few days, so I'm in the system, so I'm just going to log in. I'm not going to actually register. Let's see, msft.com. So you notice before, we came right here to the same link, and it was actually the card game, but now it's having us authenticate. If you come to this and you don't have a username, you just hit register, and you'll get right in. Just provide an email and a password. And then once this loads, notice it says, hello, my name, so my username. It has the game again, and there's a leaderboard on the right. Sometimes it doesn't work perfectly the first time, so I have to refresh. There we go, so it sorted it finally. And you can see I'm in the first rank with 369 points, and everyone below me is in the leaderboard. So when I go to here, you can see I have 369 points. I'm going to complete a game and show that I'm actually going to get some more points. Oops, I knew where that one was. So that'll do a do post. The game flips over. The scoreboard will actually update, hopefully. If not, you can see my score did increase. No, it didn't. Yes, it did. Yeah, I need to do a refresh again. Come on. It's thinking pretty hard. Anyway, we'll come back to this. The score is here, and it will start doing this. I think it's just slow right now on my computer. I could deploy this, and it'll work the same. So we'll come back to this part. So I'll close this. I'll stop the debugger. And now what we want to do is we want to make the game a little bit more exciting. We're going to add more stuff to it again. So we're going to go back, and we're going to allow us to invite friends, and then we're going to start calling the Bing Search API to get new topics and to get new images. So again, I'm going to add new code for asking the user for a topic in here. You can see I'm asking, let me zoom out a little bit. It says enter a topic or choose the Seahawks, or we will choose one by default. There's an area to type in the text, and you see that we actually have an image for a 6, 12, and 16 tile game. This calls a set tile function in JavaScript, so we need to make sure we update our JavaScript. But before we do that, I want to add another div for the email aspect of the game. We'll add that right after the table. And here you can see challenge your friends gives you a text box to enter in that email, and then it actually will send the mail. So we use SendGrid for that behind the scenes. So update my JavaScript, and in here you can see we're now going to have a topic. So in the site.js, where we actually do the change image, you see where the topic is null. We're now going to ask the user for a topic. They don't have to enter one, but if they do, they'll actually call this function and start calling our Bing Search APIs. Then we want to make sure that we set the tiles based on how many tile game they want to play. So we'll add that at the end. This is really just unhiding other divs. So you can see there's one for 6, there's one for 12, and there's one for 16. And this is our send email function. I'll come to this later, but I'll put it in the file now just so we don't have to revisit it. Again, they're all just based on controllers, so they do an HTTP post. So in the home controller, we need to add some new references because we are doing HTTP calls. And I'll add those at the top. Then we have this post, which is sending the mail. So I'll add that. And I'll add it right after the last post we added. Okay, so if we go to the site.js, you can see now when we are in the image monitor, I apologize. Yeah, this is the lighter. This DB context, oops, it's actually the home controller. So in the home controller, sorry, I'm having a hard time seeing. There we go, image controller. So the image controller, when you do the get image, this is a function I talked about before where it checks to see if the images exist or not. We now will have content in our HTTP post message. And we'll check for that. And now that a user types in a topic, say Microsoft Edge for the new browser, it'll go in here and it'll call our Bing Search API And that Bing Search API is in here, which I hid. And through the marketplace, you can go and buy the Bing Search API. It gives you an API key, so you can call the API with that credential and pass in any topics you want. So just like you'd go to Bing Search, you can type in something. You can do it through programmatic APIs as well. So here I'm calling the API, which is Bing Search, and I'm calling their news search. I'm using my credentials as well as the API key that they provide me. And I will actually get the title. I will get a list of news results based on the topic I do. I'm going to pull out the title for all of those, at least 16, because I'm doing a 16-card game potentially. And with that title, I'm calling the Bing Search again. But this time, notice I'm calling Bing Search Composite Images. So with an image, it'll actually take the title of that image and the URL for the image, and that's what it's going to use for the mapping. It'll go through, and it'll store that in our SQL database, and when someone actually loads a new game, it'll call into that database and load all those games based on the image that was typed in. So we can go back to site.js, and that was the get images, so that should work just fine now. And now, so we're calling Bing Search, we have SQL VM running, this is on an Azure website, and then we're gonna do SendGrid now, so we actually wanna send a mail. And I will close this one since we've done these. This is set tiles, so that's the one we already went through. Here's the send mail function. So this one we do a post. We need to update our actual controller for this. Oh, we already did, I forgot about that, excuse me. In our home controller, you see we have a send mail. So this is something you can also go to the Azure Marketplace and purchase, and it gives you an API key. To construct a mail, you need a to. BCC is optional. You can do a from, a subject line. So here you can say, we've invited you to play. Come play our game. We typed in the website for this. So you can see I'm eventually going to pull it to memory with friends demo at azurewebsites.com. And then I actually use SMT client for SendGrid, and I send the mail. So this all should build. I think it built. And then I'll deploy it. So now we'll see the card game. We'll see some new divs for choosing a topic, choosing the size of the game. We'll see the leaderboard, and now we'll see a way to actually invite friends. So our application's evolved pretty quickly in the short amount of time that we've been here. And again, this is just on my local machine. I've already logged in, so it'll probably recognize that due to my cookies. Yep. Now you can see there's a new div. Choose a topic. You can choose 6, 12, or 16 for the game size. You can see now it's sorting the leaderboard just fine, and below you can actually invite someone to play. So I can invite myself at microsoft.com, send invite. I don't have my email open because it would probably be very distracting during this, but that will send an email, and the email will eventually look like this. And you can format it any way you want. You can see it says the same message I had in there. There's a link to the actual website. Cheers, Azure Marketplace. So it works pretty seamlessly. You can make it pretty verbose, and SendGrid also has analytics for emails. So if you're doing any kind of targeting of ads or tracking, it's very useful. So let's choose Microsoft Edge. So I heard a lot about that today. I'm gonna keep it the six-person game, or the six-card game, because it becomes very difficult, because it takes the title and you have to match it to an image, and sometimes they don't necessarily match perfectly. So you can see it says Microsoft Edge browser logo pays homage to Internet Explorer. Nope, that's another one, so that will flip back over. Nope, that's build. There it is. So that's a match, probably. I'm guessing. Those aren't matches. This one says build 15 day one recap, Windows 10. All right, so I got a match. And an exception. That's awesome. So I will act like that didn't happen. And let's deploy that one more time. So you can see it's pretty dynamic. Before we had it, say, Google or Xbox or beer, and after a few games, it gets very, very boring, right? So now we have it using Bing Search and actually going and getting a news title and then going in an image based on that news title. And now I'm gonna actually try to make it a bigger game, which is much more difficult. So this time I will say Windows 10. I'll do 12, so you can see the game's actually increased in size. And I can do 16 as well, so it gets bigger, so it grows. This one's gonna be pretty difficult to play and pass. But you can see it actually pulls in all the stuff you need to do this. So that's pretty cool. Oh, there is an email. I didn't close my email. So I just received the email that I sent earlier, which is great. I'm going to close my Outlook. And now what we want to do is we want to make this even more interesting by adding chat. And this will be international chat. So we're going to add chat to it, as well as making it call the Bing translation APIs. And to do this, again, we're going to start with our view. We're going to go into our view, which is index.html. And we're going to add chat at the very end of the game. So it's going to be below the cards and to the left of the SendGrid. You can see there's a comment section. It's read-only. It's where actually all the scrolling text will be. You can see you can choose if you want to go from English to Spanish or Spanish to English. I chose Spanish because I'm trying to learn Spanish right now. We'll call a JavaScript function, which is post message. So we need to update the JavaScript. site.js to actually have this. Within the change image, we want to make sure that we, again, poll, just like we did for the scoreboard, but this time we're going to poll for chat. So we're going to go into here. We're going to go to our change image function. We're going to poll every 4 seconds. Of course, this could be 2 seconds, 1 second. I just chose that at random. We're going to go and find our post message, which is the original JavaScript function, and that we'll call an internal function in our JavaScript to do all the processing of the chat. So if I go back up, this poll for message, did I not copy it all over? I missed the F for fudge. Thank you. What did I do wrong here? Beautiful. So we have developers in the audience, that's good. So post message calls internal post message. This, again, is going to go and check what language it is. Once it knows what language it's going to do, it's going to do a post message to our controller. That, in turn, will call our Bing translation API to actually do the translation of the text and then to post it to the chat window. Here is where we handle the comments. So this is actually updating the comments and making sure you're always focused on the bottom. Here's the poll function, which does the same post as above, but it does it on a polling function. And then we need to add to our controller. In our image controller, you can see this is the function we're going to call, so message slash comments. So you can see that was right. That's the send mail. Where is the, right there. So that's the controller we're actually adding for this. And here's the get translated message. I'll walk you through this. So image controller. I'm going to add it right after my last HTTP message. Oh, no, that's not the right one. I forgot to stop debugging. Okay. So in here, it does the response, or it gets the message. It'll actually go and check to see if it's English or not. It'll call get translate message, which I'll go down to in a second, and then it will display the text in the chat window to be encircled by EN, showing that it equals ES. You can see the translation in the chat, so whether you speak English or Spanish, you should be able to chat with someone else in the other language, which is great. And then get translate message, if you come down, you can see it actually calls the API, so I went and purchased Bing translation, and I'm formatting the message based on this, and I use my credentials to actually call against the Bing translation API. And it will spit out the actual response from calling that. And then we need to now, since we added a new function to our controller, we need to add something to our route table for global.asx. Right here, so you can see we have a new routing for this message. So it's the message slash comments, which is the function we just added. I don't have that one open. So that's going to be in here. So you see it's right next to the other one, which is the API site for getting images. I'm going to try to do a build. I think I forgot something. Yes, I didn't add the table entity, which is the table for the actual chat. I'll come down here and add that in. Oops, well, it must have built. I hit F5 instead of S6. So hopefully this works. I didn't see that there was any build errors. It wouldn't have deployed if it wasn't. Again, it's going to recognize me, and now we should have chat in here. And then I'm going to deploy this, and then anyone else can go to this website and actually log in and compete. So that resorted. The chat's in there. I have a lot of chats in here already. It's the same SQL VM that I've been using the whole time. You can see I'll try to zoom in a little bit more without. Let's say, how is everyone doing? I'll post that. You can see it's right there. Looks like I have a bug in my code where it's still taking the last time-stamped one. Let's see if I can practice some Spanish. El gato come pan. Hopefully the cat ate the bread. Oh, I didn't see it actually populate. Hola. Ah, so it looks like I'm building the chat wrong, but you can see that it's actually translating here. So when I typed in el gato come pan, it actually said the cat eats bread. How's everyone doing? Is como hace todo el mundo? So that's kind of cool. And then this still works. It's the default images. I can type it in. So all this is pretty cool, but now let's see, let's actually deploy this. And then once we deploy it, we can get into actually trying to publish this into our Azure Marketplace. So I'll come into here, I'll hit publish. Since I've already published once, this should be a little bit faster. And so if you actually want to go to this website, you can. It'll be memorywithfriendsdemo.azurewebsites.net. You can sign in, play a game, and you can see your score get updated. So chshawmsft.com, password123. Log in. Okay. So hopefully you guys are going to this. It'd be cool to see you guys actually chat in here and see that it's actually working with everyone in the audience. So again, it's memorywithfriendsdemo.azurewebsites.net. Looks like it's slow to load. That's probably because I bought an A0 website. I typed in hello just recently. Say, is there anyone else in here with me? Has anyone else been able to log in? Is anyone trying? Kyle? Once I do this, I can switch over and I'll start talking more about how to actually become a seller in the Azure Marketplace. Does anyone know any Spanish? Se llama? Actually, it's como se llama? Well, anyway, I gotta move on. So I'm gonna go back to my deck, and then we're gonna come back to this again so I can actually show you how you can build a resource provider to actually provision through the Azure Marketplace and sell your services. So why would you wanna be a seller? Well, obviously discoverability. There's hundreds of thousands of Azure users. We sell to Web Direct, we sell to EA Indirect, and then we also support now EA Indirect, which is the reseller model, so people can actually go out and sell your service, so it's a very global market. Billing again, We take care of all the billing for you, so we collect payments from those customers who purchase your services. We give you payout for that. We handle all the legal and tax for you, at least in most of the regions. There's service management, so you can manage all your offerings. You can have more than one offering. You can do it on a VM, a web app. You can do it on many things. So there's a huge service management portal for you to do this, and I'll show you that today. And then probably the compounding or the wow factor is Microsoft Sales is now incentivized to go out and sell your service with ISVs and people around the world. They're incentivized with money, so they actually have an accelerator where if they sell services from the marketplace, they get more and more incentives and more money to increase their paycheck. So you have this huge Microsoft workforce behind you. You could be a one-person company selling your service, and your instantly go-to-market is huge. It's global. You have a sales force. You have a technical force. You have a billing backend. So it's a really good reason to be a seller if you're trying to get off the floor, if you're just trying to get that global reach. Then becoming a Microsoft Azure Market Partner. One is apply. So go to aka.ms/sellyourservice. I'll put this at the end too. You actually apply. Tell us about your company. Tell us about your service. Tell us about what you want to do. We'll work with you through our Azure Certified program, and we'll certify you both to make sure you're a real company, make sure that you have a great service, you're a great Azure fit, to help you with how you want to bill your customers, all kinds of stuff. And then you can integrate, and that's the next part of the demo we're going to show you. And finally, you sell your service. So the next show and tell is we're going to go to the publishing portal, which is as a publisher, you go in and upload all your metadata for your offerings. That's the marketing stuff. It's where you choose your billing for that. It's where you update the technical part of your service. It's where you have icons and images, anything you'd want to see in a marketplace. We're going to create that resource provider. It takes about 1 to 2 minutes, which is great. And then we're going to put it all together, and you're going to see it in our staging environment that this web app game is actually now going to be in a staging environment, all within an hour. We've built an app and put it in the store. So I will see, it looks like some people got in. Me.jeg, cool, thank you for playing. So I will minimize all these windows, and I will go to the publishing portal now. The publishing portal, like it says, it's defined with its own name. It's where a publisher goes to publish their offers. And we will go to a thank you so much. Appreciate that. So it's up. I'm going to sign in using a test account we have. So that way I don't actually publish an offer in our marketplace. I'm just going to do it in staging because you usually want to go to staging before you go to production. So this is where you can test it. Yes, please sign out. Okay, please don't remember that. So in the publishing portal, it'll be aligned by the left side, which is all your workloads. So you can see if I was a real publisher, I would have 11 application services I'm selling, I have 5 VMs I'm selling, a data service. You can set promotional offers for your offerings. And then this is where you actually register as a publisher. So it has your company entity, it has your seller profile, this is how you receive payout and that kind of stuff. So for the memory game, Memory of Friends, I created one. Here you can see. Yeah, so at the end, there'll be an AKA link that I'll share. It's actually linked to our certified program, which is where you go and apply to actually talk with our Azure certified team. And from there, they'll help you go through this portal as well as learn how to do the resource provider stuff, learn how to integrate your products and things like that. Not your own store. It's selling your services through our one store. Yeah. You want to not have your own store. We've learned that the hard way. It's better to have one consolidated store where people can search for you and they're familiar with it. So having that familiarity, that consistency, having a third party next to a first party and they look the same is advantageous for non-Microsoft folks. So you want to go through, and this portal actually does all the magic behind the back end and then puts your package out in front of everyone. So it's really whatever you put into is what you get out of it. So you could onboard in a very quick amount of time, or you could stage it or wait for a splash. So it's really what you want to get out of it. But in this publishing portal, you can define the plans that you have for your offering. Right now, I'm just going to have a free one, so I want anyone to be able to sign up. You can set it to have a promotion code or not, or add additional plans. You can have meters. So we're going to get to a point where you can actually bill for a specific type of meter. So this is like overage billing, so you pay for what you use. Then we have marketing. This is the thing where you give your offering a title, you give it a summary, I've given it a description. This is all boilerplate, just kind of fake dummy data. And you can see I have this brain lifting some weights because it's brain power, it's memory game, so it's just a fun game. And I wanted to make it obvious that it wasn't a real offer. Then you have links. So in here, I'm calling out all the services that I did. There's some that I didn't actually list, so Bing Search, Azure Websites. You can put any links you want in here that are useful for your customers to integrate, to watch demo videos, to reference other collateral, all the marketing stuff you would want to think with links. You can do sample images, which is I'm showing actually what the game looks like to the user so they can see before they actually provision it and do it. You can add multiple images. Here you give descriptions to your plans. So it's a free one, unlimited play, invite all your friends. This is where you define the meters. I don't have any, so I'm not going to do that. You have a privacy policy, and you have terms of use. Here, use it at will is just what I'm putting in. Pricing, you can actually price per region. And you can see for all the 86 regions we have in here, you can price them differently, or you can set the price for one region, $0 for the US I did here, and auto price for all the other regions. And when we add new ones, it auto prices for those too. So it's fairly useful. And you can imagine the global reach. Then support. So this is engineering context. This would be your actual team that we'd contact if there's an issue. Customer support, this is what the customers would contact if they experience an issue. Categories, so we actually will curate your offering into the certain parts in the marketplace. So to your question, sir, where you want to show up in that marketplace, you get five options, up to five. And then the resource provider. So this is the part where we want to actually provision your resource. So we have Azure in the marketplace, and we have our backend orchestrator, and then your service is over here, and somehow we need to connect the two. So we stand up what we call an RP or a resource provider, and that does all the provisioning for your service. So that's when someone creates an account, it creates an account using the RP. When they delete it, they delete it. When they want to manage it, it does all those management operations. And that's all through an SDK that we have in Visual Studio, and we're growing that to other languages too. So I think soon we might have Node.js or other languages. Love to get feedback on languages that you guys might be interested in implementing, because you may not all be C-sharp and Visual Studio fans. You plug in the endpoint here when you actually build it. So let's switch over and actually build one. And you'll see how easy it is. So if I come in here, I'll go to File, New, Project. And this is something my boss hasn't even seen yet. So you guys, this is literally hot off the press, which is great. And I'm going to search for resource. And it should pop up Azure Resource. There it goes, Azure Marketplace Resource Provider. I'm going to give it a name, and I'm actually going to call it, what do I want to call it? I'm just going to call it Memory Game RP001. Sure, that sounds great. All right, and then we have some stuff that we have to give it. And this is stuff that we'll walk you through when you actually go through the onboarding process. A namespace, so it's memory namespace. It'll be memory namespace / memory game. You need a storage account. This is actually where you store usage and other important information for your service, so that way we know how to bill on your behalf. And then you give it to a version, because most likely you'll be updating it. And these first two options are really just a way for us to identify what your service is, how to contact your RP, and things like that. And you hit OK. And it's a fairly, it's not a significantly large file, but we abstract a lot of the Azure concepts here. We extract a lot of the technical stuff. And really, all you have to do is come to one file. Oh, wow, what's going on? Unrecognized escape sequence. Did I select the right project? I apologize. Let me start that again. I must have hit the wrong button. So maybe it doesn't take 5 minutes. Maybe it takes 10. Resource. Right there. I'll just keep it the same name. Memory game. It really sounds like a dance club next door. Okay, we'll do this again. I may have fat fingered it. Awesome. I don't know what I did. Anyway, so what you do is you come in here, and there's all the functions for provisioning, deprovisioning, and managing the service. I'll zoom in. All right, I owe you beer. Perfect. So you can see that I have Marketplace Request Handler, and here I have Provision Resource, which will actually go through, and it'll have a way for you to provision keys for folks, such as an API key. Here, this is set up for like a storage structure. Then it has service properties, so you can see there's specific ports or endpoints. I'm going to replace a lot of this stuff. Then you come down to deprovision. This is actually where you remove a user from the system. Here you have update the resource, so anything you want to update with your service, like a status or an API key, or if you want to do something related to that service that's specific to that service, you do it through that function. And this all communicates with our backend and your service. You can regenerate all your keys. So if, say, you have a password and it gets breached, you can reset it. Get communication preferences. This is something so you can communicate people on a transactional basis as well as a promotional basis. So you can set what their email is, their first name and last name, if they want to be in for promotional communications. And then updating those communication preferences. And the list goes on. But really, just for this demo, I'm just going to update the provisioning. In the provisioning, everyone gets to do their user management is however they want. I'm going to use SQL again. So whenever you provision someone, you should put them in a database, and you should give them the key so you have the mappings. That way you can find them and delete them if you want, or if you can update them. So I'm going to use SQL, and I'm actually going to store that using hash. So, and this is all stuff that we can provide for you, too. I don't recommend that you do it this way, because there's probably a much more secure way to do it, and there's probably a different way that you want to do it. I will add the SQL connection here, which is great. And then within the actual provisioning function, I'm going to provision a user or put the code into provision a user. So you can see here I'm opening the SQL connection. I'm giving them a username. I'm tying it to a timestamp to make it as unique as possible. And I'm doing it at azuremarketplace.com. So this is actually what they're going to use to sign into the Memory Game website. They're going to be, their username is password, so it's nothing secure for now. I'm going to store that using a hash password function that I'll implement next. And I'll just do that right now. So I'll actually open up the connection. I'll write their username and password, I'm dragging stuff, into the SQL connection. And I will close it, and I'll update the dictionary. And then I will show them that I'm going to give them their keys once they are successfully added to the system. So you can see here, I'm going to replace the storage-related information and replace it with the username, password, and website for the game. So now they have a username, a password, and a link. So when they go into their management portal, the resource level blade, they can click on the keys. They'll see their username, their password, and the key. And then for deprovisioning, I literally do the complete opposite of all that. I open up the SQL database, and I delete the user, and then I close it. So I will build this. Again, all this is doing is just database connections and adding and using users. So it's pretty simple. So somewhere in here, when you're doing your provisioning, you'd be calling your APIs on your service to actually provision people or to give them access keys and things like that. So that builds, and I will deploy this. Actually, I don't want to do it locally. I can actually deploy it to a website.
So does Azure run that?
Yes.
Part of the setup, my app?
Yeah, you'll host this RP in one to many places around the world, depending on how you do your traffic management or your balancing. What happens, we have Azure Resource Manager, which is like the god resource provider. It does all the provisioning when someone purchases something. It knows that your resource provider exists, and it'll make calls to your resource providers, authenticated calls. And then from here, this is how it plugs into your end. So we have a threat model, which is only one entry point, that's ARM, and then all the communication through that, through this RP. And so I can actually deploy this. See if I publish, I might be out of time. Oh, I'm over time, bummer. So I can just do a new website. I'll just call it memory RP001. I'll choose West US and I will create. And while that's loading, the publishing portal, you can go to publish and I can hit push to staging. This allows me to set the sub IDs of the people who can actually test it in the UI. So we actually will vet who they are and only surface it to those testers. So I'm already added to that list for this service. Close this. Close this. Don't save. Okay, and then I'm going to log into the portal again. And this will be our staging portal. It looks and feels the same way with some slight differences. You can see that the RP was provisioned, I believe. Published. Oh, there, publish. I'm multitasking now. So you can see it's df.onecloud.azure-test.net. So this is our pre-prod environment. So this is where you can test. You only see your services that you're testing for. No one else gets to see it. And this is where you can do all. It's not the best environment because it's slower, but it's a great way to test before you actually go to production. And in production, we allow you to do tests in production as well. So there's multiple stages to producing something. So this is saying that the RP actually provisioned, which is great. Here you can see we're in development mode. So there's actually a URL query in here that lets me do optimizations to see more debug information. Thank you for waiting. I ran over time. I wasn't expecting some of the delays. Come on. If I go to the marketplace now, I'm direct connected. All right. Let me see if I can reload this. So it looks like it's hung up pretty good. This really shows where everything comes to fruition. I guess I can start answering questions while this is loading, but it will eventually load. It's a special command that actually unhides the extension. So in our UI, similar to an RP, there's a UI aspect of it, which is your extension for your service. It's hosted similar like with ARM, and it talks to both our UI as well as it talks to the RP. And right now it's hidden in the environment and I'm unhiding it so that way it shows. Type in memory. There he is down here. So you see the little guy with the brain lifting the weights. So you can see now I publish my offering in the marketplace. So it has all the same stuff. It's the resource that is memory game. It's the funky image. It's called Memory of Friends. It shows that image that I had before. It cut off some of the links, but there are links in here for it. And I can actually create this. I've created some already. Just for time's sake. You can see here it's a resource level blade. And when I actually click on the keys here, you see the username and the password. That's the stuff I put in the RP. So I can go to the website and actually plug this in and actually play the game. So since we are way over time, I'm going to switch back over. And I can answer questions afterwards. I just want to make sure I do some calls to action. So we did the show and tell, call to action. So sign up. So this is aka.ms sign up free trial. So if you don't have Azure or haven't used it before or want to try it, this is a link to actually go get your free trial. You get, I think, 200 Azure credits. You can go try some services, build a cool service, do it for free. Have fun. You can copy this if you want to. Just go in there and get dirty, you know. Reach out. We'll be here all week. And afterwards, I look forward to talking to people who are still in the room. Then to sell your service, aka.ms/sell-your-service. So this actually goes to our ACOM page, which has the Azure Certified. And then finally, come meet us. We have a booth out here. This is only 60 minutes. We have a lot more information for you, and we can answer direct questions. So with that, sorry about running over time. It was cool to show you an end-to-end flow of building an application and actually selling the application in the marketplace. Please evaluate this session if you could. I believe the QR code's out there as well. And then that's it. Thanks so much. Thank you.